Turn with me, if you would, now to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Last Sunday night, we looked at the first 14 verses of this chapter. And when I got to my study Monday morning, I opened my Bible to this chapter again because I had a marker in it. I had a ribbon right here. And when I did that, I read the next verse. And it amazed me. I immediately got lost in it. And I'm still lost in it. I'm lost in this. Just diving into the reality of what this verse is saying and what the rest of the scripture says in light of this verse, I'm telling us the honest truth here. This is impossible to comprehend. This is impossible to comprehend. This is so full of wonder. This is impossible to comprehend. And I want to preface this message with a couple things. Number one, prepare yourself to not comprehend this. I pray God might give us faith to believe it. By God's grace, I do believe it. As God's people, we believe everything that he has written in this word. We do, don't we? Whether we comprehend it or not, we believe every single thing that he has written in this word. And I'm coming to this tonight truly relying on the Spirit of God to open it up and make it a blessing to us. I'm completely relying on the Spirit of God. Now, I want to back up a few verses and lead into what will be our text, okay? In the first 14 verses of this chapter, Paul declared how thankful he was for what God had done for us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look with me at verse 12, he said, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." He said, in Christ, God the Father has made us worthy to be partakers of the inheritance that he is going to give to all of his people. Now, we talk about that, and we cannot comprehend what we're saying. I'm talking about it right now. Lord willing, we may talk about it after this message is over a little bit. We cannot comprehend what we're saying. We think we do. We think that we have an understanding here. Our understanding, I believe one thing that studying this has done for me, our understanding has yet to scratch the surface. Really, the Queen of Sheba said the half has not been told. And that's kind of that's what I've always thought. Well, we know about half of it and then the other half will be told. I'm telling you, we have yet to scratch the surface of this. The inheritance that God has prepared for his people. Think about this. Think about how awesome God is. And we're going to try to dwell on in our earthly bodies here, our little fickle, small and puny minds and selves. We're going to try to fathom God's inheritance, eternal inheritance that will never fade away. The inheritance is Christ, all right? We get Christ, We inherit Christ. But according to Romans 8, the inheritance is also all things with Christ. That's what Romans 8 says. It says, if the Father gave us Christ, shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? Him and all things with Him. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Verse 10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. God's Spirit has revealed to us that there is an inheritance reserved in heaven for God's people who were bought with His blood. God's Spirit has confirmed that in us. We believe it, don't we? There is an inheritance purchased and reserved by that blood. There is an inheritance reserved in Christ. But no man or woman could possibly imagine what it is. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has entered into the heart of a man or a woman what that could possibly be. No man or woman could possibly imagine what it's going to be like to be with Christ. We try to all the time. We try to imagine what a sinless state would be like. We try to imagine what heaven will be like. We try to imagine what our loved ones who are believers who have gone on before us, we try to imagine what they're doing and what they're... No man or woman can possibly even imagine what it's going to be like to be with Christ and to be a joint heir with Christ. True, absolute, complete union with Christ. That's what we're talking about tonight. That's what we're getting to, and that's what I'm going to lack the ability to describe. Union with Christ. No man or woman could possibly imagine what union with Christ is going to be like. And we're about to realize how true that statement is. All right? We're about to realize how true that statement is. Go with me back to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We can't go one step further until we mention the fact that Christ accomplished a perfect salvation for His people. To say that He delivered us means we needed to be delivered. To just announce He delivered us, that is declaring we needed to be delivered. We were sinners sold into sin. completely sold into sin, sold into the slavery and the bondage of our own sin. And Christ, by his own power, delivered us from the power of darkness. He delivered us from the kingdom of sin and death that we live in. And he translated us into the kingdom of the Son of God. That's what Christ did for his people. Now, verse 14 is the perfect outline for a message. I wrote an article from this verse today, and I put it in the bulletin for Sunday. If anyone needs an outline, if you go somewhere and need an outline, here it is. All right? Write this down and stick it somewhere. Verse 14 says, in whom? Christ. All right, that's where it all starts. That's where everything is found. That's the foundation of it all. In whom we have. I love this verse. We, us. Not all, but by God's mercy, by God's grace, we have. Not will have, not hope to have, not we're trying to have, not if everything works out and we don't mess it up, we'll have. In whom we have redemption. Redemption. That's what we have in whom. Redemption. And everything that means. Redemption. Think about how man fell and lost it. And this is what we have in whom? Redemption. Verse 14 goes on to say, through his blood, in everything that he gave, everything he gave to bring that redemption to us. And what does that mean for us? Verse 14 goes on to say, the forgiveness of sins. It means translation into the kingdom of our Savior. It means partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's a wonderful 5-point outline. All right, now, verse 15. Here's our text. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Who is the image of the invisible God? When I read that, I got lost in the wonder of that. Who is the image of the invisible God? I have a reference in my Bible right here next to the image. I have a reference to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Turn with me over there. We'll run the little path that I ran while I was studying. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Christ, who is the image of God. All right, I have a reference right here next to who is the image of God. The second one is Hebrews 1, verse 3. Turn with me over to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3 says, who being the brightness of his glory, the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. All right, now I have a reference right here for brightness of his glory to John 1. Turn with me to John 1. John 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Those two words, only begotten. When we hear that, we think of it in the same way as we think of us having children. All right, when we think of only begotten, we associate that with us having children. All right, we think of our children coming from us and having our characteristics passed along to them because we were first and they came second. They came after us. Therefore, they are subject to us and they are the result of our doing. That's how we think of that, okay? There is somewhat a reference to birth in saying begotten. But let me tell you what those two words mean. When you look them up, this is what they mean. Only begotten means single of its kind, only created. It comes down to meaning only. That's what it means. Only. John right here said, in looking at Jesus Christ, we beheld the glory of the only created image of the Father. Can we see that through the Scripture? Jesus Christ, and really hone in on this one word, Jesus Christ is the only begotten image of God that there is. Does that make sense? He is the single image of its kind. And what sent me into a state of being awestruck is seeing from the Word our union with Him. I mean, have we seen a little something about who He is here for just a second? Seeing our union, I mean union with Him. We have been brought into a vital union with Him. And just look at who He is. Look at who He is. Now, I want to approach this fearfully. I believe that's what I have been for 3 days now. Afraid. I've been afraid. And I right now want to approach this fearfully and reverently. I want to approach this so reverently. But here's the thing about it. This is written. So I'm going to declare it. I can't comprehend it. You can't either. You cannot comprehend this, but I'm going to declare it. And we'll let the Scripture reveal what it wants to reveal and say what it wants to say. But this is just, I don't know what to say about it. Just go to Romans 8. Turn with me to Romans 8. I'm just going to read it. Romans 8, verse 29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Do we see that? Conformed to the image of his Son. It almost feels blasphemous for me to ask the question and remind us again, now, who is the image of the Son of God? It just feels blasphemous. It makes me want to get up under this building. If I could crawl up under this building, that's what it makes me want to do. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. Our brother just read this. 1 Corinthians 15. Look with me at verse 49. "As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." Who is he talking about in saying we're going to bear the image of the heavenly? Look at verse 47. "The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven." Look at 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." The only thing I know to say right now is, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give all the glory." Turn with me to 1 John 3. 1 John 3, verse 1 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Right now, we are, okay? Now are we the sons of God. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We shall be like him. David said in Psalm 17, verse 15, "I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." I'm telling you, we don't know what's coming. We can't comprehend what's coming. We cannot comprehend the glory of the Lord that he has bestowed on his people. When the Lord prayed in John 17 to the Father, "The same glory you gave to me, I've given it to them." Again, let's crawl up under this building. You know, you hear this and you think, "What are you saying? Wait a minute now, what are you saying?" I'm not saying anything. I don't want to say anything. Well, let God do all the commentary. But this is what John said, "It doth not yet appear." What did David mean when he said, "I'll be satisfied when I awake with your likeness"? it doth not yet appear. That's the only answer we can give. It doth not yet appear. I don't know. I just don't know. But all I can tell you this, this is what I can deduct from it. Union with Christ is unspeakable. Union with the Lord Jesus Christ is unspeakable. Living with Christ in the holy image of Christ, the only begotten of God. It's unspeakable. When the Apostle Paul was caught up into the third heaven, he said, I heard things that are unspeakable. They cannot be commented on right now. This cannot be commented on right now. This can be declared. This can be believed. This can be hoped in. We can have an expected anticipation of something that we can't comprehend. This can be looked forward to, but it can't be commented on right now because we cannot comprehend it. We just cannot comprehend what it's going to be. God's people are going to experience what it is to be in absolute, complete, total union with the one who bears the only image of God that there is. And even though that union is already in place right now, it's already secure. Even though we have it right now, because of our sinful flesh, we can't comprehend it right now. We just sang that song, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise. The moment that happens, we're going to know as we've been known. We're going to see as we have been seen. But right now, it's unspeakable. It's unspeakable. All right? So, with God's word to us here being declared, let me leave us with this. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 9. Second Corinthians 9, verse 15 says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. There is so much more to know about our redemption in the blood of Christ than we could possibly comprehend. There is so much more to know. And until the time comes that we can comprehend it, may God just give us faith to believe it. May He just give us faith to believe it, hope to anticipate it, love to look forward to it. Love to look forward to what it truly is going to be like to experience life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our life is in the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Our life is in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're going to have life with the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. Lord, give us faith to believe what we cannot comprehend. Give us faith to believe it, and let's just rejoice in that word. I pray He'll give us a happiness, even though we can't fathom it. I pray He'll give us a happiness in this word. To believe and trust and hope in what He's done for us, what He's done concerning us. All right, I'll just stop. Let's all stand together.